There are four Christmas masses: the Vigil Mass, the Mass at night, the Mass at dawn, and the Mass during the day. And we're doing the one during the day right now. And there's a progression in the gospel stories through those four liturgies. Each has its own set of readings. And Mark's gospel is the earliest one, and he starts out the gospel with the baptism of the Lord in the Jordan. And what he is saying is that we knew from his baptism, we heard the voice, "This is my beloved Son." We knew from then that he was Son of God, that he was divine. And Matthew and Luke enlarge on that, and they say, no, actually, he was Son of God from his birth. And so they told the birth narratives. Those are the Christmas stories. And we heard those last night. But then John's gospel, which is the latest one, by then the theology had developed more fully, and he says, no, we didn't know that Christ was Son of God from his birth even. He was always Son of God. And so we heard that this morning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the Big Bang at the beginning of everything was the voice spoken by the Son. He is the Word of the Father. And he was there with the Father and was one with the Father from before the beginning. But at one point in history, he takes on human flesh, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas. He takes on human flesh in one body so that what was universally always true, that God is in his creation, that all of creation, the cosmos, the mountains, the oceans, everything reflects God and shows God's, reveals God's glory in some way. And that's why whenever we're out in an awesome experience of nature, the night sky, for example, the lofty mountains, we often think of God who created it all, because it reflects God's glory. But humanity is created in the image of the Son, in the image of Christ. And so humanity is conscious of that glory, receives it, knows it, and can return it. So it's about the gift of life and love that flows out from God through the Son, and the reception of that gift by the human race that can consciously and willingly praise God and give glory to God and return the gift by loving God back. And so there is relationship, because what God always intended through his creation was that there would be relationship. And if you look back at Genesis and the 6 days of creation, there's something of a little bit of disappointment in each stage of the creation. Even though God pronounces each stage good, there's still something a little bit disappointing, and that's because it doesn't have consciousness. It doesn't have the ability to receive knowingly this life and this love and return it. And so he says, on the sixth day, I will create humans in my own image, in my own likeness I will create them, male and female I will create them, so that they will know that they are being loved, and they will have the freedom to love me back. And so, relationship. This return of the gift is something that we are only capable of doing through grace. And so, it's not that this began with the incarnation of Christ in Jesus. It was always there, but it became revealed there. And that's the point of that second reading from the book of the Hebrews, that it was revealed in Jesus. Always true, but never known, misunderstood. The prophets gave us hints of it to the best of their understanding, but it wasn't fully revealed until Jesus, namely that we are children of God. And through him, we are able to offer back the perfect sacrifice of love. And so our salvation is not so much in our getting it right. In fact, that's one of the big messages of all of St. Paul's letters, that he got it wrong by being a Pharisee. He got it wrong by persecuting the church. He made a mistake. In his zeal, he actually murdered people. And yet, the miracle that he says over and over again is that God forgave me. I met Christ on the road to Damascus, and he overpowered me with his love. I was struck dumb and blind, but then he restored my sight, my hearing, my soul, and it's all gift. I thought I was earning it. I thought I was a good, law-abiding Pharisee. I thought I was earning my own salvation. I thought I was doing the right thing, and I had it all wrong. But it's okay, because he picked me up and he saved me. Well, isn't that true of all of us? Every once in a while, we're tempted to think that we're saving ourselves, that we're following the commandments, that we're doing the right things, that we're going to Mass, that we're praying. And those are all important and they're all helpful, but it isn't something that we're doing. It's something that was done for us before the world began, when Christ was with the Father as eternal Son, eternally begotten, that this birthing, this giving life to the Son is an eternal truth and an eternal reality. But at one point in human history, it took flesh. It was no longer pure spirit, but just like the rest of creation in which God dwells, and God is in everything, now in a particular way and in a much more powerful way, he is in the human race through the Son. And so our turning around and accepting the gift, accepting that love, and returning it is through the Son. We wouldn't be unable to do that on our own, but through him we have become children of God. Through him we are returning the gift. And we celebrate that at Mass every Sunday. We remember the gift of his life on the cross. We realize that we are adopted children of the Father through him, and through him we are able to turn around and offer it back to God. St. Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Through Christ, through our union with his perfect sacrifice here at the altar, we are able to return the gift of God, to love God fully, and to be redeemed. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. It's true all the time, but on this day and in this season, we want to look at that a little bit more intently, a little more deeply, and give thanks to God for the great gift of his life in Jesus.